Patient/client assessment is a cornerstone of clinical practice, forming the foundation for understanding clients, diagnosing concerns, and crafting evidence-based interventions tailored to individual needs. This process is multifaceted and requires a keen understanding of several domains to ensure comprehensive and effective outcomes. Today, we delve into the intricate details of this critical practice. Clinical assessment. We begin our discussion with the typical clinical assessment process. To start, we explore its various components under the subheadings multi-method assessment, evidence-based assessment, and culturally competent assessment. Multi-method assessment involves employing multiple tools and strategies to achieve a holistic view of a patient's functioning. No single instrument can capture the complexity of human behavior and personality. For instance, a practitioner might use self-report questionnaires to gain insight into a client's subjective experiences while also conducting objective personality tests to measure standardized constructs like openness or conscientiousness. Objective cognitive and psychophysiological tests provide additional quantitative information. Interviews, whether structured or semi-structured, add a qualitative layer to this understanding, allowing clients to articulate concerns in their own words. Behavioral assessments further complement this approach by observing clients in natural or controlled settings, offering insights into actions that may not align with self-reported data. Complementing these assessments are reports by collateral informants, such as family members, and reports by professionals, such as family physicians, of their own assessments. Each method within a multi-method assessment has its strengths and limitations, which is why triangulating data from various sources is critical. For example, a client's responses on a depression inventory might indicate severe symptoms, but behavioral observations and self-report could reveal inconsistencies, such as engaging in social activities that contradict the isolation reported on the inventory. This combination allows practitioners to piece together a fuller, more accurate picture, reducing the risk of misdiagnosis or oversights. In clinical practice, the flexibility of multi-method assessments stands out. Practitioners can adapt their methods based on the presenting concerns and the client's context. A child's intake might include parent-teacher reports, play-based assessments, and psychometric testing, whereas an adult with anxiety may benefit from a blend of cognitive behavioral inventories and physiological measures, such as heart rate variability. This tailored approach ensures relevance and precision, fostering a deeper understanding of each individual. Ultimately, the strength of a multi-method assessment lies in its ability to capture the nuanced interplay of various psychological, behavioral, and contextual factors. It empowers practitioners to build robust case formulations, guiding intervention strategies that align with the complexities of the human experience. By recognizing the diversity of influences on a person's mental health and performance, this approach sets the stage for meaningful and targeted treatment. Evidence-based assessment takes the principles of multi-method assessment further by anchoring the selection of tools and techniques in empirical research. The movement toward evidence-based practice has revolutionized clinical psychology, urging professionals to prioritize methods that are scientifically validated. For example, the Beck Depression Inventory, too, is widely recognized for its reliability and validity in diagnosing depression, providing clinicians with a dependable measure to evaluate symptoms and track progress. Reliability and validity are crucial benchmarks in evidence-based assessment. A reliable tool produces consistent results across time and populations, while a valid tool measures what it claims to measure. Instruments like the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, MMPI, and its various revisions exemplify this rigor, offering robust frameworks for understanding psychopathology. Such measures enable clinicians to make informed decisions, reducing the reliance on subjective judgment or anecdotal evidence. The integration of evidence-based tools also extends to the interpretation of results. Clinicians are encouraged to consider normative data benchmarks derived from large, representative samples to contextualize a client's scores. For instance, an anxiety scale score might appear elevated, but only by comparing it to norms for similar demographic groups can its significance be fully understood. This practice ensures that interpretations are grounded in science rather than speculation. Furthermore, evidence-based assessment aligns with the ethical imperative of doing no harm. By using validated tools and norms, practitioners minimize the risk of errors that could lead to inappropriate or ineffective interventions. This commitment to scientific integrity reflects the profession's dedication to improving client outcomes through meticulous and well-informed practices. Evidence-based assessment not only bolsters clinical efficacy, but also reinforces trust between practitioners and clients, as the latter can feel confident in the reliability of the process. Culturally competent assessment recognizes that understanding a client's cultural background is pivotal in accurately interpreting their behaviors, emotions, and experiences. Culture shapes norms, values, and even definitions of mental health and illness, making it a critical lens through which assessment must occur. For instance, behaviors deemed unusual in one culture may be entirely normative in another. A culturally competent assessment seeks to avoid over-pathologizing such behaviors by interpreting them within the appropriate cultural framework. Practitioners must strive for cultural humility, acknowledging their biases and actively seeking to understand the client's perspective. This might involve learning about the client's cultural traditions, values, and linguistic nuances. For example, in cultures where emotional expression is subdued, apparent detachment or stoicism should not be mistaken for a lack of engagement or affect. Similarly, understanding the cultural significance of family dynamics can help frame behaviors within the broader context of relational obligations and societal expectations. It is also very helpful to directly ask the client to describe what the practitioner needs to know about the influence of their culture on the experience and presentation of their problem. Cultural competence also involves selecting tools that are linguistically and contextually appropriate. Translations of assessment instruments must go beyond direct language conversion, ensuring that items are culturally relevant and retain their intended meaning. In some cases, this might require adapting the scoring or interpretation guidelines to account for cultural variations. For example, a measure of social anxiety might need recalibration for collectivist cultures where deference and modesty are emphasized. Finally, culturally competent assessment is an ongoing process rather than a static skill set. Practitioners must continually educate themselves on the diverse cultural landscapes of their clients, seeking consultation or training when encountering unfamiliar contexts. This dedication to cultural sensitivity not only enriches the assessment process, but also strengthens the therapeutic alliance, fostering trust and mutual respect. In doing so, culturally competent assessments ensure that interventions are not only effective, but also deeply attuned to the individual's lived experiences. The effective selection and interpretation of multi-method, evidence-based, and culturally competent assessment techniques also rest on the practitioner's knowledge of theory and research related to the client's presenting problem. Intake assessment forms the bedrock of effective clinical practice. This critical phase of engagement allows practitioners to systematically gather information, share insights with the client, and make collaborative decisions. Each purpose serves as a pillar in creating a strong therapeutic alliance and setting the stage for successful outcomes. By attending to these objectives, clinicians can provide tailored interventions that address clients' unique needs. Gathering information is the first essential purpose of intake assessment. This process involves collecting a comprehensive array of data about the client's presenting problems, personal history, and contextual factors. For example, understanding the frequency, intensity, and duration of a client's symptoms provides a detailed picture of their current challenges. Beyond mere symptoms, the intake phase also explores underlying factors such as where and when symptoms occur, family dynamics, social influences, and personal coping mechanisms. Personal and situational strengths that can be mustered to relieve symptoms are also assessed. This holistic approach ensures that no critical piece of the puzzle is overlooked, creating a rich tapestry of information that guides the practitioner's understanding. The methods used to gather information are diverse and adaptable to different contexts. Interviews, questionnaires, and rating scales serve as tools to elicit both qualitative and quantitative data. For instance, open-ended questions during an interview can reveal a client's unique narrative, while structured scales quantify aspects like anxiety or depression. By integrating these methods, practitioners not only achieve a fuller understanding of the client, but also lay the groundwork for a trusting relationship. Clients often feel validated when their experiences are explored thoroughly and with genuine interest. Sharing information represents a second pivotal purpose of intake assessment. Once data is collected, the clinician synthesizes this information into a coherent summary that can be shared with the client. This practice fosters transparency and collaboration, empowering clients to become active participants in their care. For example, a practitioner might explain the results of a depression inventory in simple, relatable terms, linking the findings to the client's lived experience. It can also help to frame the formulation of the client's problem as a story that depicts how they began and is perpetuated. This demystification of clinical jargon enhances the client's understanding and builds trust in the therapeutic process. Sharing information also helps set realistic expectations for treatment. By discussing potential interventions, anticipated outcomes, and possible challenges, the practitioner and client can align their goals and priorities. This alignment is crucial for maintaining motivation and engagement throughout the therapeutic journey. Furthermore, when clients are informed about their assessment results and treatment plans, they are better equipped to make decisions that reflect their preferences and values. This shared decision-making process reinforces the client's autonomy and strengthens the therapeutic alliance. Decision-making is the third cornerstone of intake assessment. The insights gained during the assessment phase provide the foundation for selecting appropriate interventions and setting achievable goals. For example, if a client's primary concern is anxiety, the intake findings might suggest cognitive behavioral therapy as a first-line approach. Similarly, clients seeking performance enhancement might benefit from tailored neurofeedback protocols based on their assessment results. By anchoring decisions in evidence and client input, practitioners can design interventions that are both effective and meaningful. In addition to guiding treatment selection, decision-making during intake assessment often includes addressing logistical considerations. Discussions about session frequency, duration, and potential costs help establish a clear framework for the therapeutic process. This clarity reduces ambiguity and promotes a sense of security for the client. Decision-making also extends to identifying potential barriers to treatment, such as transportation challenges or time constraints, and collaboratively developing strategies to overcome them. Through these efforts, the intake phase becomes a collaborative endeavor that paves the way for successful therapeutic engagement. Finally, building a trusting working relationship underscores the overarching purpose of intake assessment. The initial interactions between client and practitioner set the tone for the entire therapeutic journey. Active listening, empathy, and genuine curiosity are vital in creating a safe and supportive environment. When clients feel heard and understood, they are more likely to engage openly and honestly, providing the depth of information needed for effective intervention. This trust-building process is not limited to verbal interactions. Nonverbal cues, such as maintaining eye contact and adopting an open posture, contribute to creating a welcoming atmosphere. Additionally, discussing confidentiality and its limits early in the intake phase reassures clients about the safety of sharing sensitive information. By fostering trust and rapport, practitioners lay the foundation for a collaborative partnership that empowers clients to work toward their goals with confidence and commitment. Optimum performance assessment. In contrast to assessment approaches that focus primarily on symptoms, optimum performance assessment represents a strength-focused assessment that supports the application of neurofeedback and related methodologies. Unlike clinical lenses that emphasize specific psychological or physiological concerns, this approach focuses on enhancing individuals' abilities to achieve peak performance in areas such as sports, communication, academics, music, and other high-stakes endeavors. The principles of this assessment are rooted in the idea that even individuals without diagnosable issues can benefit from a deeper understanding of their cognitive and emotional patterns, leading to better performance and increased success. One of the defining features of optimum performance assessment is its emphasis on client goals. Individuals seeking peak performance training often have a clear vision of their objectives, whether it's improving reaction times for athletic performance, enhancing memory for academic pursuits, debate skills, or refining emotional regulation for artistic excellence. The assessment process begins with an in-depth conversation to identify these goals and align the practitioner's assessment strategies accordingly. This client-centered approach ensures that the assessment remains relevant and practical, directly contributing to measurable outcomes. The methods employed in optimum performance assessment are often similar to those used in clinical contexts, but with a distinct focus on optimization rather than remediation. For example, cognitive tests might assess areas like attention, processing speed, or executive functioning, not to identify deficits, but to uncover strengths and areas for improvement. Similarly, psychophysiological measures such as heart rate variability or EEG patterns might be used to evaluate stress responses or focus levels under pressure. These data points provide a comprehensive picture of the client's current functioning, serving as a baseline for targeted interventions. Practitioners conducting optimum performance assessments must be particularly skilled at interpreting results within a non-clinical framework. Unlike traditional assessments, where deviations from the norm may indicate a problem, optimum performance clients often present as high-functioning individuals. The practitioner's task is to identify subtle patterns and variations that may be holding the client back from reaching their full potential or offer opportunities for strategic improvements that lead to excellence. For instance, a musician might demonstrate superior motor coordination but struggle with sustaining focus during extended performances. By pinpointing these nuances, the assessment guides the design of interventions aimed at enhancing specific skills. Another critical aspect of this assessment is the collaborative nature of the feedback process. Clients engaged in performance enhancement are often highly motivated and deeply invested in their progress. Sharing results in a clear and empowering manner is essential to maintaining this engagement. Practitioners must communicate findings in a way that highlights opportunities for growth while acknowledging the client's existing strengths. This strengths-based approach not only reinforces the client's confidence, but also fosters a proactive mindset toward improvement. One of the challenges in optimum performance assessment is addressing the possibility of uncovering clinical issues. While the primary goal is performance enhancement, the assessment process may reveal underlying concerns such as anxiety, perfectionism, or sleep disturbances. Navigating these findings requires sensitivity and ethical consideration, particularly for practitioners who are not licensed health professionals. In such cases, it's crucial to refer the client to appropriate resources, such as screening assessment for treatable clinical problems, while continuing to focus on performance goals. This dual focus ensures that the client's well-being remains a priority without detracting from their aspirations for optimization. The outcomes of optimum performance assessment are as varied as the individuals who pursue them. For some, the benefits might manifest as improved athletic scores or academic achievements, while others may experience enhanced creativity or emotional resilience. Regardless of the specific results, the overarching goal is to equip clients with the tools and insights needed to perform at their best. This might involve neurofeedback training to fine-tune brainwave activity, mindfulness practices to enhance focus, or cognitive strategies to manage stress. Ultimately, optimum performance assessment exemplifies the versatility of neurofeedback and related practices. By shifting the focus from treating deficits to amplifying strengths, it opens new possibilities for personal and professional growth. Whether working with an elite athlete preparing for competition or a student striving for academic excellence, practitioners play a pivotal role in unlocking human potential. This dynamic and forward-thinking approach not only enriches the lives of clients, but also underscores the transformative power of assessment when applied with creativity and expertise. Intake assessment methods. Preliminary steps. The intake process begins long before the client steps into the practitioner's office. Preliminary steps serve as the foundation for a well-organized and effective assessment. Typically, the practitioner collects basic background information through phone calls, emails, or preliminary questionnaires sent to the client prior to the first session. These initial inquiries provide insight into the client's concerns, goals, and personal history, helping the practitioner prepare tailored questions and assessment tools for the formal intake. For children, preliminary steps often involve gathering input from parents, teachers, or caregivers. This input can include behavioral observations, academic performance reports, or responses to standardized rating scales. These measures not only save time during the formal intake, but also provide a multidimensional view of the client's environment and experiences. Moreover, these preparatory steps allow practitioners to address any logistical considerations, such as the need for consent forms or arrangements for collateral interviews, ensuring a smooth and efficient process. Introduction and consent. The first face-to-face meeting between practitioner and client is pivotal. This initial session sets the tone for the entire therapeutic relationship. During the introduction, the practitioner explains the purpose and structure of the intake assessment, outlining what the client can expect. A clear and empathetic explanation builds trust and helps clients feel more comfortable sharing personal information. Consent is a fundamental component of this phase. The practitioner reviews confidentiality policies, including their limits, such as mandatory reporting requirements. Ensuring that the client understands these parameters fosters transparency and ethical practice. Clients are then given the opportunity to ask questions or express concerns before formally providing consent to proceed. This mutual understanding not only safeguards the client's rights, but also strengthens the foundation of the therapeutic alliance. Problem description. Understanding the client's presenting problem is the central focus of the intake assessment. Practitioners often begin this discussion with open-ended questions, allowing clients to share their experiences in their own words. This approach not only elicits valuable information, but also empowers clients to take an active role in the assessment process. Listening attentively to the client's narrative provides insights into the frequency, intensity, and duration of their symptoms, as well as their personal interpretations of the issue. Context is equally important in problem description. Practitioners explore the circumstances surrounding the onset of the problem, identifying potential triggers, stressors, or life events that may have contributed. The practitioner inquires about social, academic, and work consequences of symptoms. Questions about what worsens or alleviates the symptoms, as well as any strategies the client has already tried, further enrich the understanding of the problem. This thorough exploration ensures that the practitioner and client collaboratively define the primary focus of the intervention. Personal and family history. A comprehensive personal and family history provides the contextual backdrop for understanding the client's current concerns. The personal history delves into areas such as medical conditions, psychiatric diagnoses, substance use, education, work, social interactions, and significant life events. By examining these factors, practitioners can identify patterns or recurring themes that may influence the client's functioning. Family history offers additional layers of insight, particularly regarding genetic predispositions or learned behaviors. For instance, understanding a family's mental health history can reveal potential vulnerabilities or strengths that shape the client's experience. Exploring the quality of familial relationships, whether supportive or strained, further informs the assessment, providing a nuanced understanding of the client's relational dynamics. Diagnostic interviewing. For practitioners who are licensed or trained to diagnose, semi-structured interviews serve as an essential tool. These interviews allow for a systematic exploration of symptoms and behaviors, aiding in differential diagnosis. Practitioners may use established frameworks, such as the DSM-5 criteria, to guide this process, ensuring that all relevant aspects of the client's condition are considered. Diagnostic interviewing is not limited to identifying clinical issues. It also provides a foundation for treatment planning. By gaining a detailed understanding of the client's strengths and challenges, practitioners can recommend evidence-based interventions tailored to their specific needs. This dual focus on diagnosis and planning underscores the value of a thorough and thoughtful intake process. Barriers, strengths, and client perspective. Assessing barriers and strengths is a critical step in formulating a realistic and effective treatment plan. Barriers may include logistical challenges, such as transportation or financial constraints, as well as personal obstacles, like low motivation or fear of change. Identifying these hurdles allows practitioners to develop strategies to address them proactively, increasing the likelihood of success. Conversely, exploring the client's strengths highlights the resources they can draw upon during treatment. Whether it's a supportive social network, strong problem-solving skills, or past experiences of resilience, these assets can play a pivotal role in achieving therapeutic goals. Incorporating the client's perspective on their challenges and solutions fosters a collaborative approach, empowering them to take ownership of their progress. Behavioral observation and mental status examination. Observing the client's behavior during the intake session provides valuable nonverbal cues about their emotional state and cognitive functioning. Practitioners might note factors such as eye contact, speech patterns, and physical movements, which can offer insights into the client's level of comfort, anxiety, or engagement. These observations complement verbal reports, painting a fuller picture of the client's overall presentation. In clinical settings, a formal mental status examination, MSE, may be conducted to assess areas like mood, thought processes, and cognitive abilities. The MSE provides a structured framework for identifying potential areas of concern, such as memory deficits or disorganized thinking. When integrated with other assessment data, these observations inform both diagnosis and intervention planning. Collateral interview. In cases where the client's self-report may be limited, such as with young children or individuals with cognitive impairments, collateral interviews provide an essential supplementary perspective. Speaking with parents, caregivers, or close friends can fill in gaps in the client's narrative and offer additional context for understanding their behavior and experiences. Collateral interviews must be conducted with sensitivity to confidentiality and consent. Practitioners should clarify the purpose of these discussions and ensure that all parties involved understand their roles. By incorporating collateral information, the assessment becomes a more comprehensive and reliable process, benefiting both the client and the therapeutic plan. Reports. Reviewing existing reports from other professionals, such as medical records, psychological evaluations, or academic assessments, adds depth to the intake process. These documents provide a historical context for the client's current concerns, highlighting patterns or significant changes over time. They also offer a starting point for building upon previous interventions or diagnoses. Practitioners must obtain the client's consent before accessing these reports. Once reviewed, the information can be synthesized with new assessment data to create a cohesive understanding of the client's needs. This integration ensures that the intake process is both thorough and well-informed. Questionnaires and rating scales. Standardized questionnaires and rating scales are invaluable tools for quantifying symptoms and tracking progress over time. These instruments can measure a wide range of constructs, from mood and anxiety levels to cognitive functioning and quality of life. By providing objective data, they complement subjective reports and observational findings. Practitioners should select tools that are psychometrically validated and relevant to the client's presenting concerns. Administering these assessments before, during, or after the intake session can streamline the process, ensuring that key areas are addressed efficiently. The resulting data serves as both a diagnostic aid and a baseline for evaluating treatment outcomes. Cognitive tests. Cognitive tests assess domains such as memory, attention, and executive functioning, offering insights into the client's mental processes. These assessments are particularly useful for clients presenting with academic challenges, cognitive decline, or performance-related concerns. By identifying strengths and weaknesses, cognitive tests inform targeted interventions that address specific areas of need. Practitioners must interpret cognitive test results within the context of the client's overall presentation. Factors such as cultural background, educational history, and test-taking anxiety can influence performance, necessitating a nuanced approach to analysis. When used appropriately, cognitive tests provide a rich source of information for guiding treatment. Psychophysiological assessment. Psychophysiological assessments measure physiological responses, such as heart rate, skin conductance, or brainwave activity, to evaluate the interaction between mind and body. These measures are particularly relevant in contexts like stress management, biofeedback, and neurofeedback. For example, assessing heart rate variability can provide insights into a client's stress resilience and autonomic regulation. By incorporating psychophysiological data into the intake process, practitioners gain a deeper understanding of the client's physiological state and its relationship to their psychological concerns. This holistic approach ensures that interventions are both comprehensive and tailored, addressing the full spectrum of the client's needs. EEG assessment and neurofeedback. EEG assessment. EEG assessment is the cornerstone of neurofeedback, providing the foundation for understanding brain activity and its relationship to behavior, cognition, and emotion. By capturing electrical signals generated by neuronal activity, EEG enables practitioners to evaluate patterns of brain function and identify areas of dysregulation. This process often begins with a baseline recording, which serves as a reference point for interpreting subsequent data and guiding the development of neurofeedback protocols. One of the primary strengths of EEG assessment is its ability to provide real-time insights into brain function. Practitioners can observe how different regions of the brain interact and how these interactions correlate with specific states, such as relaxation or focus. For example, excessive theta activity in the prefrontal cortex may indicate difficulty maintaining attention, while heightened beta activity might suggest stress or hyperarousal. These findings inform the selection of neurofeedback interventions tailored to the client's unique needs. The process of EEG assessment is both scientific and artful. Practitioners must carefully prepare clients for the procedure, ensuring proper electrode placement and minimizing artifacts caused by muscle movements or environmental interference. The resulting data is analyzed using specialized software that converts raw EEG signals into readable formats, such as power spectra or coherence maps. These visual representations help identify imbalances or irregularities that may contribute to the client's presenting concerns. Advanced techniques, such as quantitative EEG, QEG, take this process further by comparing the client's data to normative databases. This approach enables practitioners to pinpoint deviations from typical brain activity patterns and develop hypotheses about their significance. For instance, a QEG analysis might reveal reduced alpha power in the posterior regions, suggesting challenges with relaxation or visual processing. By integrating these findings with other assessment data, practitioners can create a comprehensive profile of the client's brain function. EEG assessment is not limited to identifying dysfunction. It also highlights strengths and resources within the brain. For example, a client with strong alpha coherence might demonstrate a natural ability to shift between focused and relaxed states. Recognizing these strengths allows practitioners to leverage them during neurofeedback training, enhancing the client's capacity for self-regulation and performance optimization. Despite its many benefits, EEG assessment has limitations that must be considered. Factors such as electrode placement, data interpretation, and individual variability can influence the accuracy and reliability of findings. Practitioners must approach the process with a critical eye, corroborating EEG results with other assessment methods and clinical observations. This integrative approach ensures that neurofeedback protocols are grounded in a robust understanding of the client's needs. Ethical considerations also play a crucial role in EEG assessment. Practitioners must ensure that clients fully understand the purpose and implications of the procedure, obtaining informed consent before proceeding. Additionally, they must be transparent about the limitations of EEG data, avoiding overinterpretation or unwarranted conclusions. By maintaining high standards of professionalism and integrity, practitioners foster trust and confidence in the assessment process. Neurofeedback. Neurofeedback is a training technique that leverages EEG data to promote self-regulation and optimize brain function. At its core, neurofeedback involves providing real-time feedback about brain activity, enabling clients to learn how to modify their neural patterns. This process is based on the principles of operant conditioning, where desired behaviors in this case, specific brainwave patterns are reinforced through presentation of auditory and visual feedback. The applications of neurofeedback are vast and varied, ranging from clinical interventions to performance enhancement. In clinical settings, neurofeedback has been used to address conditions such as ADHD, anxiety, depression, and epilepsy. For example, training clients to increase sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, activity has been shown to improve focus and reduce impulsivity in individuals with ADHD. Similarly, reducing excessive beta activity can alleviate symptoms of anxiety and promote relaxation. In performance contexts, neurofeedback helps individuals achieve optimal states for creativity, concentration, and resilience. Athletes, musicians, and executives often use neurofeedback to enhance their ability to perform under pressure, recover from setbacks, and maintain focus during critical moments. By fine-tuning brainwave activity, clients can achieve a state of flow, a peak performance state characterized by effortless concentration and intrinsic motivation. The neurofeedback process typically involves multiple sessions, with clients practicing specific brainwave patterns over time. Sessions may begin with a brief assessment to identify the feedback threshold or the level required for presentation of feedback. Then, a series of training periods with real-time feedback delivered through visual or auditory cues occurs with short breaks in between. For example, a client working on increasing alpha activity might watch a video that pauses when their brainwaves deviate from the desired range. Or video and sound may play for another only when SMR brainwaves are large enough. This immediate feedback helps the client learn to self-regulate and sustain the desired state. One of the most exciting aspects of neurofeedback is its potential for lasting change. Unlike medications that provide temporary relief, neurofeedback fosters neuroplasticity, enabling the brain to rewire itself for improved function. Over time, clients often report sustained improvements in focus, mood, and resilience, reflecting the long-term benefits of this approach. However, the effectiveness of neurofeedback depends on factors such as the client's commitment, the practitioner's expertise, and the appropriateness of the training protocol. Challenges in neurofeedback practice include the need for precise calibration of training protocols and the management of individual variability. Not all clients respond to neurofeedback in the same way, and practitioners must remain flexible and adaptive in their approach. Regular monitoring of subjective and EEG changes and adjustment of protocols are essential to ensure that training remains effective and aligned with the client's goals. Ethics and informed consent are integral to neurofeedback practice. Practitioners must clearly explain the procedure, potential benefits, and limitations to clients, ensuring that they have realistic expectations. Transparency about the scientific basis of neurofeedback and its evidence base fosters trust and credibility. By adhering to these principles, practitioners uphold the highest standards of care and professionalism. Ultimately, neurofeedback represents a powerful tool for enhancing brain function and improving quality of life. By combining cutting-edge technology with individualized care, practitioners can help clients unlock their potential and achieve their goals. Whether used for clinical treatment or performance optimization, neurofeedback exemplifies the transformative power of neuroscience in action. Integration of intake and EEG assessment. The integration of intake and EEG assessment is a pivotal step in the neurofeedback process, transforming disparate data points into a cohesive understanding of the client's needs and goals. This integration requires careful synthesis of qualitative and quantitative findings, ensuring that the assessment provides a comprehensive framework for intervention that is consistent with a scientifically based understanding of the client's condition or goals. At its core, this process bridges the subjective experiences shared during the intake with the objective insights gleaned from EEG data, creating a dynamic interplay between the two. One of the first steps in this integration is validating the information collected during the intake phase. Practitioners review the client's self-reported concerns, personal history, and observed behaviors, comparing these with the patterns identified in the EEG data. For example, a client reporting difficulty with sustained attention might exhibit excessive theta activity in frontal regions. This alignment between subjective and objective data not only confirms the accuracy of the assessment, but also highlights specific areas for intervention. The integration process also uncovers discrepancies that warrant further exploration. In some cases, a client's EEG data may reveal patterns that contradict their self-reported experiences. For instance, a client who describes feeling constantly fatigued might show heightened beta activity indicative of hyperarousal. Such findings prompt practitioners to delve deeper into potential contributing factors, such as stress or sleep disturbances, ensuring that the assessment captures the full complexity of the client's experience. Creating a cohesive narrative is a key outcome of integrating intake and EEG assessment. By synthesizing the data, practitioners craft a detailed profile that explains the client's challenges and strengths. This narrative serves as a foundation for collaborative goal setting, enabling the client to understand their brain function and how it relates to their lived experiences. For example, a client struggling with anxiety might gain insight into how heightened beta activity exacerbates their symptoms, empowering them to actively participate in their neurofeedback training. The integration process also informs the design of neurofeedback protocols. Practitioners use the combined insights from intake and EEG assessment to tailor interventions that address the client's specific needs. For example, a client with reduced alpha activity and self-reported difficulties with relaxation might benefit from training protocols aimed at enhancing alpha coherence. This individualized approach ensures that neurofeedback sessions are both effective and meaningful. Collaboration between practitioner and client is central to the integration process. Sharing the synthesized findings in an accessible and transparent manner fosters trust and engagement. Practitioners must communicate complex EEG data in a way that resonates with the client, using visual aids and clear explanations to illustrate key points. This collaborative discussion not only demystifies the neurofeedback process, but also empowers the client to take an active role in their treatment journey. It is also important to consider sharing assessment findings and training plans with those who are in the client's circle of care, possibly the referral source, family members, educators, and healthcare providers. Reviewing the rationale for doing so and requesting client consent are essential for this step. The integration of intake and EEG assessment extends beyond the initial phases of neurofeedback. As training progresses, practitioners continuously revisit and refine the integrated profile, incorporating new insights from ongoing assessments and client feedback. This iterative process ensures that interventions remain aligned with the client's evolving needs and goals, maximizing the effectiveness of neurofeedback. Ethical considerations play a crucial role in this integration. Practitioners must be transparent about the limitations of both intake and EEG data, avoiding overinterpretation or unwarranted conclusions. They must also respect the client's autonomy, ensuring that all decisions about neurofeedback protocols are made collaboratively. By upholding these principles, practitioners create a supportive and ethical framework for intervention. Ultimately, the integration of intake and EEG assessment exemplifies the art and science of neurofeedback. By combining qualitative and quantitative insights, practitioners gain a holistic understanding of the client's unique profile. This comprehensive approach not only enhances the precision of neurofeedback interventions, but also fosters a deeper connection between practitioner and client, laying the foundation for transformative outcomes.